venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas. And I say this to exhort you in your Christmas celebration. We held off during Advent, not plunging ourselves into the Christmas celebration. Well, as Christmas got closer, our joy increased, but we didn't just go full-fledged celebrate because we knew that we were in the holy season of Advent. And as we well know, those that did not observe Advent, they're finished with Christmas. And how sad that is. If I could feel sorry for them, I would have that sentiment for them. They're missing out on so much. They're missing out on the glory, the joy, the meaning of the 12 days of Christmas. Today would be the eighth day, if you consider Christmas to be the first day of Christmas, a wonderful Christmas carol that has significance of various numbers in our Catholic faith. I won't get into all of that. You've no doubt heard about that already or read about it. But we are in the midst of the Christmas celebration. It's all about Christmas. And yes, today the special emphasis is on the circumcision of Jesus, which was like a baptism in the Old Testament. It was strictly required for Jewish boys, and this was a sign of the covenant. It was a prefigurement of baptism, and a name would be bestowed. This is the day we celebrate that Saint Joseph bestowed the name of Jesus upon him. He was told by the angel, "You will call his name Jesus," which, as we know, means Savior, and he is the anointed one, the Christos. So he and he alone is the Jesus Christ of all time, the incarnate God. As I said, we're celebrating Christmas. And I want to share with you some thoughts from a beautiful commentary by a John Horvat, who has written a book, Return to Order, and he's trying to promote the idea of getting back to sanity in society. And of course, that sanity is inextricably linked with the Catholic faith. It's the Catholic faith that brings sanity into the world. And the insanity that we see, the sin, because of a rejection of God's plan. Again, we have to remember, not only did God come on earth, he also gave us a plan, and that plan, you might say, is his church. It's not just an invisible structure, it's a collection of pious sayings. No, it's a definite structure that Jesus gave, and he gave not only that, but he gave his teachings and he gave the sacraments. That's his plan. And to the extent his plan is followed, the world is a better place. And most importantly, more souls are saved. But to the extent his plan is rejected, well, not only are more souls lost, but there's more disorder, chaos, sin, and insanity in society. So I believe that's a point very well made. I haven't read his book, Return to Order, but I'm certain that it has many a good idea of how to get back to Catholic Christian values in society. But this is the article that he wrote for Christmas, and it's entitled, Why We Stop for Christmas. And one of the points he makes so clear, and it says, it's so powerful, this feast of Christmas, that not only does it make believers stop, but it makes all the unbelievers stop too. And unfortunately, they don't understand the meaning, but they have to stop, whether they want to or not. So let me just read a couple of paragraphs or more here from his article. And again, this is in the spirit of the 12 Christmas. We're in the middle of this great celebration Today's the octave day of Christmas. We absolutely let that, the spirit and the meaning of Christmas, continue to fill our lives. Even for the week after the Epiphany, we're going to be reading the gospel of the Magi coming to adore and bringing their gifts. It is Christmas time, and the world stops for a brief moment. It does not stop long because there are too many important things to be done in people's estimation. Parenthetical remark. It can only be a short pause on Christmas Day before the world must almost immediately return to the frenetic intemperance of the daily hustle and bustle. But this quick respite is enough to give a most necessary and calm reprieve of sanity, peace, and order to our burdened souls. Of course, the world does not stop willingly. It even tries to secure some advantage from this unnecessary break by making frantic attempts to commercialize and secularize the feast. Despite it all, the peace of Christmas somehow prevails. Faithful Christians everywhere are not threatened, but strengthened by Christmas. We stop because Christmas reminds us that we are called to live in the presence of an almighty God of infinite grandeur and majesty. This fact provokes in us a sense of wonder at the immense gulf between the Creator and His creatures. Seeing our wonder and our desire to understand Him, God manifested Himself to us in a marvelous manner. He incites in us great aspirations or dreams for a better world to come. He bridged the gulf by presenting to us the most striking, indisputable, and audacious dream imaginable. That dream was the fact that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. On Christmas night, we hear the antiphon that proclaims this daring reality. A child is born to us. By the way, that's the introit for today. A child is born for us, and a son is given to us. On that ineffable night when our Savior was born to Mary, ever virgin, an immense impossibility became possible. The God-man was born and revealed Himself to us. On that holy and silent night, one can sense the sweetness and perfection that emanated from the divine infant in the manger. There is even a greater reason for us to stop and marvel. The birth of Christ also signaled the coming of a Redeemer who, for love of us, would reestablish the link broken by our first parents. In that marvelous and joyous birth, we find foreshadowed the sorrows of His passion. We stop and adore He who was born so that we might be redeemed, saved, and united with Him for all eternity. This is why everyone stops for Christmas. The powerful image of the Christ child still has the capacity of capturing the modern imagination, if even only for a moment, amidst the world of sin and distractions. During the blessed season, the grace of God still reaches out and draws all men of goodwill towards Him, despite so much rejection. For those of us who celebrate a Merry Christmas, we stop at this time every year to recreate a marvelous wonder world visibly expressed by decorated trees, nativity scenes, and joyous caroling that reflect this joyful reality of Christ's coming. More importantly, we gather inside our souls the peace of the Christ child that calls us to return to order by realigning ourselves to live in function of a world created by God, turned towards God, and where God shows Himself actively intervening out of love for us. So there's a lot there. There's a lot of deep and wonderful reflection. And I like the idea of the quietness, the stop and pray, the stop and wonder. The stop and marvel. If we don't do that, we don't meditate. And then the eternal truths don't sink into us. But when we really have that sense of profound reflection, deep consideration, and it just soaks into us. We're always the better for it. We're better equipped to go through this life, preparing for our eternity. New Year's Day, as we well know, is a day for resolutions. You've probably made a couple or more. And may I emphasize that you have spiritual resolutions. Today, 2017 has begun. We cannot promise ourselves tomorrow or that we will be here for 2018. Maybe this will be the year that God will call us to the next life. We don't know. So we need those good resolutions. Now, we all know how good year's resolutions go. It's kind of a joke, you know, 3 weeks into the new year. Well, do you still remember your resolutions? Well, if they're in the temporal order or the physical order, obviously not so important. But spiritually, we need those resolutions. The Imitation of Christ says that even he who often resolves will fall. How much more will that person fall who doesn't resolve? But you see, that's the problem with resolutions. We set ourselves up for discouragement because, as we know, nobody can keep a resolution perfectly. And so as we make these resolutions, and everyone should make them, we all need them. The important thing is to not get discouraged when we fail against them, against that good resolution. The important thing is to keep on going. Remember, discouragement does not come from God. Discouragement comes, of course, from our own fallen nature. It's actually just, in a sense, a normal emotion. But the devil will really capitalize on any resolution he sees us break. He's going to whisper in our ear, to use that imagery. Our guardian angel whispers in one ear, the devil in another. And what the devil will whisper to us is, why do you even try? Look at the failures of the past. There's only one thing to be done with that, and to say, I am not going to listen to that. It doesn't matter how many times a person should fall. The important thing is to keep on going. And may I remind you of the carol of the Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your branches are evergreen. And that's the message for us, to keep persevering. So let us pray for one another. Let us be strengthened and resolved in our good resolutions. Let's keep them going. Let us use them as a means to draw ever nearer to the divine infant and to his holy mother and Saint Joseph. A Merry Christmas to you, and a happy and a holy New Year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.